Morning. Do you hear me? Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. Well, I am not Pastor Thomas. He was scheduled to be with us this morning. He is ill right now, so he will be here next week. So you're stuck with me, okay? In the last service of the year, I'm sorry. If 2022 could not get any worse, then you never know. But anyway, before we get into the Word, let me go over a couple of announcements. First of all, today being the last day of the year, as we have been praying as a church every single day of 2023, this is the day that we close that chapter. We pray one last time for the children. Now, that doesn't mean that we're no longer going to pray for children, okay? But we seal that. We complete that. Obviously, we're going to always keep praying for our children. So we're going to do that in a minute, and what an honor that is. A few announcements is there's no service on Wednesday, and the church is closed also Monday and Tuesday. So there's a break for the staff, which is awesome. And we'll be here a week from today and so on. After this service, we are in need of a few volunteers to help after second services to help take down the Christmas decorations and bring out the boxes from the attic. It says that we're not going to be putting them away. We just need to take them down, the large decorations especially, and the Christmas tree wreath and the small lobby nativity scene and all that. So you want to meet James Hammermack here after second service, and he'll tell you where to go. It's only going to take about 6 or 7 hours, so we promise that you'll be in time for your New Year's party, okay? I'm kidding. Maybe 3 hours. I'm kidding. No. It'll be quick, but obviously the more people, the better. And I'm sure Pastor Bill's listening right now. He's like, tell him not to. It's not a race. Yeah, we're going to take him nicely. It's not like you take him down like you do at home and just chuck everything. No, you know, they're nice things. So we don't want to be like everything just thrown on the ground. But we do appreciate your help. In talking with Pastor Thomas, I said, well, Thomas, what do I tell the congregation? You know, and I'm going to read to him, to you what he told me to say. He said, please tell the congregation that it has been one attack after the other ever since Pastor Bill and myself met concerning 2024. I have a word the Lord has given me, and I am so burdened to deliver it and will be, Lord willing, on the 7th. Pastor Thomas. So it just makes sense, right? The Lord is at work, and there's always going to be opposition. There's opposition for everything from the wicked ones. So, but the word will be here, God willing, on the 7th, and we're looking forward to that. So with all that being said, let's also pray for the missions team, who they're on their way back from Mexico. So let's pray. And Jesus, we so thank you. For this day, we thank you that we can come before your throne one more time and put these over 500 names, these children that have been prayed for every single day of 2023. We close that chapter, Lord, and we know that you did mighty works and you kept them and you protect them. And we know that you will continue to do so, Lord. We thank you for the children. I know at camp we saw your hand moving among the children of this church, and we pray that that will continue as the new year begins and school and so many things out there. Protect, Lord, your children. We pray for the missions team coming up from Mexico. We pray you give them traveling mercies and keep them. Thank you for all the work that they've done and how faithful they are. Be with them. Lord, we do pray for Pastor Bill and Miss Becky and Pastor Thomas, we pray that your hand will be upon them, that you just relieve them. I pray that, Lord, that when those New Year's messages do come, Lord, that our hearts will be open. It will be just in the right time. You know why. You know how. And I just pray that you do your work. And, Lord, as we turn to your word this morning, I prayed again that you would not, that I would not be speaking, but it will be you. That our hearts and ears will be open to receive that which the Spirit will have to say to the church today. We thank you. We commit our time. We ask that your Holy Spirit, even now, will move in this place freely. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. And if you want to start turning there to chapter 11. But before we get there, I want to go over a couple of things. So as always, it's always, you know, a privilege to be here. It's an honor. And what a privilege to be in the last day of 2023 at church. With God's people, hearing God's word, it's a good way to end the year. Amen? It really is. So another year has come and gone. And I was telling the first service, the older I get, the faster the years go by. I feel like, you know, this is like 6 months. For some of you guys, it probably felt like a week. And I'm not implying anything there. But this is that time of year, you know, where everybody's talking about Christmas, I mean, New Year's resolutions, you know, and everybody's buying the books about working out and self-help, and gym memberships are probably through the roof. You know, those guys are just printing money. Just a few weeks later, everybody drops off and we all look the same. But anyway, be that as it may. But, you know, 2023 was a different kind of a year. They all are, really. But 2023, I was doing some research and just trying to highlight some of those, you know, main events that happened throughout 2023. So in 2023, we got introduced in a more broader way or blunt way to AI, artificial intelligence, when ChatGPT came in the scene and it rocked the world and the way we see things. Everybody has a lot of strong opinions against it, and a few are for it, but it's quite interesting what ChatGPT and the AI is doing. As a nation, this is an encouraging one. As a nation, we broke the record for credit card debt when we surpassed $1 trillion. Yeah, what a blessing, huh? Anyway, 2023, what a year. You know, it was 2023, I forgot about this, that we saw a balloon, ginormous balloon, cruise through our, you know, airspace, and, you know, got shot down, and the world was, yeah, that was 2023, isn't that weird? Yeah, I don't know. And of course, on October 7th of this year, as we were there in the, with some 60-some kids at camp, I got the news that Hamas had attacked Israel, and we have seen 2.5, almost 3 months later now, the ramifications. So 2023 is kind of it's a weird one. You know, as a year comes to an end, you know, dictionaries and universities, they all pick the word, the number one word for 2023. So I'm going to read some interesting ones here. But Oxford University came up with their word for 2023, the most important word. And no, it wasn't inflation, although that would have won. But according to them, the number one word, Oxford University, for 2023 was RIZZ. Yeah, R-I-Z-Z, RIZZ, which is short for charisma. I had to learn this. I'm not, like, hip. I had to learn this. And, yeah, it says it means style, charm, attractiveness, or the ability to attract a romantic partner, RIZZ. So I guess the teenagers are like, hey, do I have RIZZ? If I hear somebody say RIZZ, okay. Anyway. So Oxford says RIZZ. That's interesting. Cambridge Dictionary, they picked their word for 2023, and it's hallucinate. Huh? Hallucinate. And I researched it. I'm like, well, why? It said this is tied to AI, artificial intelligence, since artificial intelligence is a computer with some human capabilities, brain capabilities. It says that when it hallucinates, it creates false information. Ooh, see, all of a sudden it's like, oh, AI. So hallucinate, Cambridge said, is their word for 2023. But the one that got my attention and the one I think is very interesting is Merriam-Webster's. Their word for their verse, number one word for 2023 was or is authentic. Authentic. It says worthy of acceptance or belief as conforming to or based on fact. So why authentic? They said, you know, with all these artificial things all over the place, people are searching for the real thing. You know, when you see authentic blank food, you know, like authentic Mexican food, you go like, oh, and you go in and you find out it's Tex-Mex. It's like, come on, that's, you're lying. I'm kidding. You know, authentic Italian food, and you go like, oh, it says authentic. It must be good. It's real. But it's very interesting that the world, according to Merriam-Webster, is searching for what's authentic. Why? Because there's so many fake things out there. We are turning into a culture that everything that is told to us, we check it. We don't just take somebody's opinion or comment on something. We have to find out for ourselves. We got to make sure that is authentic. Interesting. We're going to talk about what's truly authentic here in a minute. But, you know, with all these fake, fictitious things that are all over the place, a good friend of mine, he got pranked by his teenage son recently, where he took a celebrity's voice with AI, artificial intelligence, and made it make an ad for his dad's business. He's like, play, oh, look, he's advertising. He's like, no way. You see, that's why we now want to look for what's authentic. You know, AI is so advanced, unfortunately, that they can mimic anybody's voice and leave you a voicemail. So you think your child or somebody's, you have to like now find out what's authentic. Is it real? Who knows where we're headed with this one. But needless to say, you know, 23 is just about done, and we're looking at 2024. And, you know, some are predicting doom and gloom, which could come. Some are worried about the future. You know, Ukraine and Russia are going almost now in 2 years of war this February. That seems like a long time. And it feels like it's only been 6 months. That's 2 years of a hard-fought, horrible war. Obviously, Israel and Hamas are at war, and you know, we're seeing other forces, strong forces, getting involved, and the world is shaky, it's fragile. We're one bad decision away for something really bad, and we know that. I'm not telling you anything new. The moral compass of this nation is non-existent. It's gone. There used to be morals. Now you rewrite your own morals. And that's what kids are being taught. But there is one common denominator after that very encouraging introduction I just gave you of everything I just mentioned. One common denominator. Everything I just mentioned pertains to the things of this world. All of it. The good news is that we are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, we are here. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. So come what may, whatever happens on this earth, good, bad, or ugly, it doesn't affect who we are in Christ. It doesn't affect where we're going to be eternally as a child of God at all. So what 2024 brings, I don't know, but I know Jesus knows. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So some might say, you know, this world we're in is so messed up. We've become a little grumpy. We've become a little cynical. Some might just say, well, if Jesus just comes back right now, it'd be so great. We just bounce and go. You know, I'm there. I'm down. Let's go. But we're here. So what do we do? Okay. With all that being said, I want to take you to Matthew 11. We're going to be starting in verse 25, but my message this morning is called A New Year's Invitation. So as you turn there to Matthew 11, 25, let me just put into context where we're going to be. So the previous five verses, so 20 to 25 or so, Jesus had just finished rebuking five cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Tyre, Sidon, and Capernaum, which he actually enjoyed there. Jesus went a lot to Capernaum. But why did he rebuke them? In verse 20, it tells us that, says, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. So Jesus is addressing a multitude, and they're asking things about John the Baptist, and he stands like, go, tell him what you see, and so forth. And then all of a sudden, Jesus goes and starts rebuking these five cities, and he compares them to Sodom, some of them. He's like, hey, if the works that had been done in you, it would have been done in Sodom, they would have repented. And he just basically lays into them. And then, in verse 25, it says, after that time, after what? After he rebuked those five cities, this is where we pick up our text. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. So in the midst of all that rebuke to those five cities, Jesus switches gears right away. He's like, I thank you, Father. You've hid them from them. It's what you want. But no one knows me but you, Father. And nobody knows you but me. And whoever the Son, Jesus says, wills to reveal. So we get to know the Father through Jesus. And on that background, then we go into our main text, which is verse 28. And Jesus, right after that, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, an invitation. Interestingly enough, that word come is the exact same word that Jesus used when he called Peter to follow him. Remember? There in Matthew 4:19, Jesus called Peter and his brother Andrew. He's like, come or follow me, and I will make you fisher of men. That's the same word. It's an invitation. God is full of invitations. Have you ever looked at some text where he's constantly calling us to himself? Let me give you a few examples. Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now. And let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be as wool. In John 7:37-38 says this, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Isaiah 55:1 says, oh, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. And of course, Hebrews 4:16, it says, the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is often inviting us to come. To come to me. Now, when he's saying that to those multitudes, you know, you got to put yourself, if you will, in their sandals for a minute. And what are they under? They're under the control of Rome, right? So there's Roman soldiers, they pay a tax. So they're burdened by taxes. And in another country, if you will, the Pax Romana, which is ruling them. On top of that, they got the religious leaders who are putting burdens on them and legalism and requirements. And so they're burdened on one end and they're burdened on one other. And again, this is not like a very affluent area. They're probably very poor. Remember, they follow Jesus sometimes just for food. So these are burdened, weary, tired, oppressed people. And Jesus is looking at the multitude, and he says to them, come to me, all you who are weary, who are tired and heavy laden. And it says, and I will give you rest. According to D.A. Carson, labor implies the burdens we take upon ourselves, and heavy laden implies the burdens others put on us. Have you ever been put a burden on by someone else? Huh. Heavy laden suggests that this the same thought as Matthew 23, 4, as I just alluded, where Jesus spoke to the religious leaders of his day and those who bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But then he gives a promise. He says, you come and I will give you rest. Notice the promise the Son, Jesus, gives to those who come to him. Rest. That word rest, it could be synonymous with refreshed. Like, you know, when you put in a 18-hour day, I've done that before. Cisco was here earlier for a service. You know, he puts in 26-hour days. That's incredible. He's a miracle worker. But you know, when you're really, really tired after a long day, maybe mentally exhausted, when you dealt with 1,000 things, and there comes, there at night, you see your couch or your chair or your bed, and it's just, it's almost like a spotlight is on it. It's almost like twinkling stars. And you almost float over, and you plop down, and you rest. Doesn't that feel great? Oh, yeah. You know, I love to take naps, especially on a Sunday afternoon. They're my favorite time. But my family has systematically and intentionally colluded against my Sunday naps due to the unfound allegations that naps make me grumpy. Actually, they do. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because naps are short and I want to keep sleeping. So I have to break that beautiful rest and get up. So it makes me grumpy. Anyway, be that as it may, I'm done talking about my naps. You know what I'm going to try to do today? Take a nap. But Jesus calls us, all of us who are weary, tired, to come to him. He gives us what no one else can do. Rest. Has 2023 gotten you tired? Are you in need of rest? Jesus says, come. Come to me. Now, you may say, Raul, okay, I know that. I know it well. I've heard 1,000 times. You know what? Do we forget things? I forget where my keys are all the time. Just because we know something doesn't mean that we do it. Sometimes we need to just be reminded by the Lord. Come. I'm here. I will give you the rest that you need. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So the first invitation is come. And the second invitation is take my yoke. Now, the yoke, it says properly, a yoke, a wooden bar placed over the neck of a pair of animals, oxen, some, you know, cows, whatever, so they can all pull together. It unites them. Two people to work together as one. I like what Ironside said about the yoke. He said, a yoke is designed to curb the will and bring one under control. Ooh, that was cool. Now, the idea of being yoked or under control doesn't sit well in this generation with some people because we live in a culture that promotes freedom. We live in a culture that says you can do it on your own. Look at the guy in the mirror. Yeah, flex. Thumbs up. I can do this. We can do this. I don't need any help. Self-help, free thinking, self-sufficiency. We got this kind of mentality. So to tell someone, hey, you know, you got to come under the yoke of Jesus. It's almost seen as, wait a minute, I have my own way. I have my own will. Don't you tell me what to do. This can scare some people. They say, I have my plans. I have my will. I have my hobbies. I have my Cowboys. I think they won last night. And I say, I know, actually. Never mind. And why should I submit my life and come under curb under the will of another. All the fun will be gone. I will miss out so much. Why would I do that? You know, for 20 years as a non-believer, I ran my own life and didn't go well. It didn't go well. Let me politely remind you and tell you that one of the Satan's biggest lies to humankind, human being, is do not obey God. Do not yield to Him. Do it on your own. Go back to the Garden of Eden. There was Eve. He's like, take the fruit. He's like, oh, no. And he's like, hey, He knows that when you take the fruit, your eyes will be open. See, God is keeping you from something, Eve. He's keeping you. See, it was, oh, take my yoke upon you. Oh, He's going to keep me from something. That is a lie. That is a lie. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, here it is, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will, it's perfect, it's good, and it's acceptable. I can look back 22, 23 years later and look at my life, what it was like before and before Jesus, and see what has been after Jesus. I can look back and I can say it's perfect. It's pleasant. It's pleasing. Amen? Yeah. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus says, then He said to His disciples, if anyone, bless you, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. So there is a denying that needs to take place. There is a yielding that needs to take place as we come under His yoke, as our will is curbed under the power of another. By taking His yoke, we forsake other yokes we're under. Wait, what do you mean, Raul? I'm not under any yoke. Oh, yes, you are. How about the yoke of money? Possessions, looks, and I can go on. But you see, there's a paradox that happens. That is, by taking His yoke and yoking ourselves with God, He is taking the weight, and that's where we find rest. It's a paradox. It's weird. It's like, wait a minute, how am I going to find rest by taking His yoke? Well, we're going to learn His yoke is easy, His burden is light. It's a paradox. It's contrary to what the world says. Like, no, don't be yoked. It's got to be underweight. No. It's freeing. You are now finding rest. It's a paradox. And it says, and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Now, in verse 27, it says that Jesus, you know, the Son, He reveals the Father to whoever He will. So He's inviting the people. He's like, learn from Me. Let Me reveal the Father to you. Learn from Me. For I am gentle, meek, and lowly in heart. Jesus is giving us a self-description of who He is. Not a hard, but no, He's gentle, He's meek, He's kind. That's who Jesus is. That's the Jesus of the Bible. And it says, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, this is such a strong statement. Jesus is uncovering a need, that the struggle and the quest for every soul, and that is rest for our souls. Only one in all of humanity and eternity and galaxies, only one is Jesus, can give us rest. There's only one. No one else. Again, money, fame, looks, possessions, authority, they all provide a temporary rest. They give you a high and they poof, and it just drops. Only Jesus fills that void, that hole that we think we can fill in with things and relationships. It's going to be the next job. It's going to be the next car. It's going to be the next girlfriend or boyfriend. It's going to be the next house, the next neighborhood. Oh, it's going to be the next. That's just passing. Jesus is the one that gives us the true rest for our souls that just says, okay, we're good. And until we're restless, until you come to Jesus. Maybe you're here, you're not a Christian, and you've been searching. I don't know who's here, but I'm telling you, you're searching, and you have not found peace because you have not found Jesus. You find Jesus, you find peace, and you find rest. Would you come to him? The Bible, speaking of peace, speaks of two rests, if you will, for our souls. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Son, through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus, you may or may not realize this. You are at odds with God. Jesus says, he who's not for me is against me. But through Jesus, we have peace with God. It's when that weight of sin and guilt and shame is removed from you. It was 2001, Anaheim, California, there in a little church right off the 57 freeway where I was a young guy. I walked and I just felt the burden gone. And it's like you get up and you're like as light as a feather. You can float. And it only happens once. You see what I mean? You only get saved once. Oh boy, here we go, Rebel. No. Once saved, always saved. He said it. No, hold on. Easy. But you know what I'm talking about. If you're a believer in this room, you know what I'm talking about. It's when that weight is gone, when you can almost lift up your head again, when you can take a deep breath, and there's that peace with God. That when your last breath on earth takes place, be it sooner or later, you have that peace with God that you know exactly where you're going. See, that's a peace that only Jesus offers. Every other religion that may attempt to provide any sort of doctrine like that, you can hear all you want, but it still has no weight because it's not truth. Jesus says, I am the way, and the life. So only Jesus has the authority, the power, and the means to give us peace with God. And he says, come to me. The second piece is in Philippians 4:7. It says, and the peace of God. So we got peace with God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, when you have a peace that you don't know when you're at peace, you don't understand. Well, that's God's peace. How do I have peace right now? I don't know. Well, that's biblical. It says it passes understanding. But I've seen that peace. I felt that peace at times. I've seen it in other people. And you go like, how? How is this making sense? Well, it's the peace of God. And then they're a child of God. It passes, it blows the filter. You go like, see, we try to make sense of things. We always try, we're perfect at analyzing things. Like, well, how did that happen? Always, we're investigators, right? On that one, you can't investigate it. You go like, yeah, I don't know. They have peace. How? Oh, it's the peace of God. Okay. Yeah. We don't get it. Yeah, exactly. It passes understanding. See? It's God's word. It's real. Now, what is truly authentic? The world, Merriam-Webster, authentic. Let me tell you. Jesus. It's that simple. We've been forgiven. We have yielded to Jesus. That supernatural peace overcomes and overrules your mind. And you go like, here's what's real. It's Jesus. So what is this world looking for authentic? Hey, it's been here all along. He formed the world. Guess what? He's coming one day. And who's going to win the last battle? And who's going to take us to heaven? Jesus. And who's going to rule the world?
Jesus.
So, is that simple? It's so simple, it's almost hard to understand. It's Jesus. So the world has AI and a robot is going to tell me what to do. Okay, so Jesus is still there. Yeah. Yeah, just, you know what, we should make a sticker and put it in the robot. Jesus. Go. That'll be really funny, but I'm not saying go print stickers. But the world is looking for what's authentic, what's real. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I remember, I'm not going to say his name, but he was the Larry King Live. Remember that guy? He's now in eternity. I don't know where he is, but he made a comment on national TV to this preacher. He said, the Bible needs to be updated. It needs to be amended because we live in a culture that has changed. And this guy gave the perfect answer. He said, this is truth. And truth does not change. Amen. Therefore, it cannot be updated. Mic drop. I'm like, wow, I'm impressed. That's it. Jesus. All along. Here. Jesus. Uh-huh. Now. Jesus. When everything breaks loose. Jesus. So the world collapses. Jesus there. Where are we going? With Jesus. Come to me, he says. You see, that probably the most important call anyone can be offered is to come to Jesus. As Pastor Chuck used to sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I mean, I can recite that all day long. All other ground is sinking sand. So what is going to be 24 like? I don't know. But here's what I know. Jesus is there. Jesus is here. He's ahead. We've been placed in this generation, this time. You think that's a mistake? No. God knows why we're here. He knows. He understands. He knows everything. So what's around the corner? I don't know. I'm looking forward. It's certainly going to be interesting. I can tell you that. We got elections. We got wars. We got all these things. And we're like, whoo. But there's Jesus. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word there, easy, could be translated as well-fitting. Guzik made a point I like. He says, if your yoke is hard and your burden is heavy, then we can say that it isn't his yoke or his burden, and you aren't letting him bear it with you. Jesus said it plainly, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So as we wrap things up this year, can I encourage you, can I remind you that Jesus offers an invitation. Perhaps maybe this coming year we find ourselves coming to him more often. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. You see, sometimes we find ourselves bearing loads and burdens that we are not to bear alone. It's a yoke. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. It's easy. Jesus bears with us what we navigate. Does that make sense? A few weeks back, I was thinking, I was struggling a little bit, honestly. And I was praying, and I was praying and searching. Matthew 11:28 popped in my head. It's like, come to me. And I'm like, what? Come on, Raul, you know this better. Yeah. Yes, come to me. That's all it is. I need to go to him. That's it. I need to. And I started to think, it's like, oh, wow, what? I'm handed over to him. Maybe we need to hand over to Jesus some of those burdens. Just let him take them. Whatever you're carrying from 2023, just let him go. Let him have it. You might be surprised that he might take them all. Be like, glad you asked. I've been here all along. We can get so worked up, so busy. We can be so intellectually capable. We try to define and try to figure out everything that we can forget the simplest things. And the simplest thing is that Jesus is calling us to him. Yesterday, I was cooking getting ready to take care of the kids. My wife was out, and my five-year-old Everett. I don't know if you've, some of you may have met him. He's a little five-year-old with big hair. He's a firecracker. And sometimes he hits spot where nothing is good, right? So he's like, I'm hungry. And he does it in this tone that just blesses you. So much. And he started that yesterday. So I take him to the pantry. I was like, well, you want chips? No. Okay. You want Cheerios? Yeah. I went through the whole fridge, the whole pantry, and yeah. And every time he said no, my blood pressure went up a little more. And steam starts coming out of my ears. So I kind of gave up on him. I'm like, well, I'm not Ratatouille. I'm not going to be cooking for you everything you want. So go to your room. So his room is right behind the kitchen there. And I look over, and he's crying. He's got two big tears. Poor guy. He's got a pantry full of food, and he can find what he wants. No, I'm not this kind of dad. And my wife's here. She can, you can ask her. I'm not this kind of dad. But I look at him, and something told me, just go read a book with him. So I walk in his room. I said, you want to read a book? He's like, huh? I'm like, yeah, let's read a book. So we read a book about how the Grinch lost Christmas. Very biblical. And we finished this really long book. And then, you want to read another one? It's like, yeah. So we're about two-thirds of the way done with the second book. He's like, can we pause? I said, sure. He's like, I like nachos. Which I had offered him 30 minutes earlier. I'm like, you do? Well, let's go make some nachos. He's like, okay. So I made him his nachos. He ate them. And the peace was restored. My blood pressure dropped. But even in that moment, you know where I'm going with this. I'm like, Dad, snuggled him up on the floor and read to him. And what was in a five-year-old mind, his world was falling apart over food. It was gone when Dad embraced him. Come to me. Come to your Father. Let him embrace you. The invitation is open. The throne of grace, see, when Jesus died, says that the veil ripped from top to bottom. It's open house. It's there for us. We can come to him. We can. Are you pouting? Hey, my wife's here. She knows I can pout. Yeah, she has her eyebrows right now. It's like, mm-hmm. She knows. Come to him. Sometimes we can get just a little bit out of whack. We're like a loose cannon. Like a running around like a chicken with a head cut off because we're so worried about everything that's happening around us. I went to Eureka Springs about a year and a half ago. This is a tourist trap. And yeah, just so you know. And they have a Jesus play, right? They have a thing. It's such a tourist trap. But anyway, while you're waiting for the Jesus play, they have different shops, if you will. So they got a guy like a sling, you know, and like he's launching these rocks. I'm like, poof. I'm like, oh, I can see how Goliath went down fast, man. Look at this thing, right? So I'm like, you know, watching, but they have a potter, a guy that was pottery. And he started his thing. And I have a hard time paying attention to things. I get distracted very easily. I go like, squirrel, squirrel. You know, that's me. That's me. But when this guy sat behind the potter's wheel, he had the real deal, you know, where you press on it and it starts turning, this table. And he has a mic, he starts talking. I went to the very first row and I sat in front of that guy and I'm listening to everything. I'm just mesmerized. I'm like, whoa, this is incredible. And he's talking about how the potter shapes, and I'm like, whoa, I can write a sermon about this. And I'm like, wow. But here's what really, there are so many things about it. I wish I could remember them all, but the one that stuck with me is that when he grabbed that lump of clay, right? They pour water on it and they soften it. But when he first put it on the table is spinning. And he puts the lump of clay, and it's not perfect, so it's off center. So it's going like, dun, 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 dun. Kind of like when you do the washer and you put all the towels on one, it's like, dun, dun, like that. And he's did it on purpose. I'm like, dun, 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 dun. And he's like, you see, the clay is off center right now. And it's wobbling, it's going all over the place. The one touch of the master, the creator, the potter, on that clay, and he reached, he got water, and he touched that thing as it was spinning, and it was wobbling, and the moment he touched it, those revolutions shaped the edges, and all of a sudden, it looked like it was still, but it was spinning in circles. And I'm like, oh, that's me. I looked at it, I'm like, that's me. That's what I need when I start going all over the place. When I start barking at people and I start complaining about the politics and I complain about the neighborhoods. Too many cars, all that road is. That's me. I need the master to just. There you are. But you see, our Lord is so kind and so loving. That he's not gonna just, he advises us, come. You're huffing and puffing, you're pouting, you're crying, you're whining, all that nonsense. Come to me, let me give you rest from that. He formed me. He knows every fiber of my being. He knows what makes me tick. He's like, I know what you need, Raul. There you are. Then it's, do we need that?
Yes.
I do. He says, come. Let us reason together. Come unto me. Can I encourage you? Let your Father yield to him. Let him, let the Master touch your life. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. And you go like, I am that. I'm all over the board. I need that. Well, you can ask Jesus to touch your life, to save you, to give you that peace. You said, Raul, you talked about that peace of God and peace with God. I don't have that. I need that peace. Well, Jesus is here. You can ask him. You, less in the line, you can ask him right where you are to be your Lord. Whoa, oh my, oh, yeah, it's Jesus. It's that simple, powerful, incredibly amazing. It's Jesus. That's what we need. So as we wrap this service, as we wrap this year, please, if this is what the Lord is calling you to, run to him. We don't know what 2024 holds. I'm certainly looking forward to Pastor Bill and Pastor Thomas' messages. I really am. And I know, as I said earlier, Pastor Thomas really wanted to be here. But that will come in time, and I'm looking forward to see, you know, how the Lord is leading us. But one thing will never change is Jesus. He'll never change. We can bank on that. He's the same one yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Amen? Let's pray. And Father, I just thank you so much for your invitation to come to you. I pray that everyone in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, will find themselves running to you even now. Will find themselves yielding to you even now. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, if there's anyone in this room that says, I need Jesus. I need that peace with God. I need to be saved. That's who you are. Wherever you are, would you please raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Anybody in this place? All right. Well, Lord, I thank you for this, your people. I pray for those listening online. If there's anybody, the sound of my voice is here and it needs that peace, reach out to God. He will hear you where you are. We thank you, Lord, for this year, for the many wonderful sermons and servants of this church. We thank you for Pastor Bill and Becky, for Thomas and Kaylee and Danielle and JT and Teresa and Cisco, so many servants. Jesse, we thank you for the wonderful people that are here. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lead us into 2024. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand.